we're talking about jobs and the economy, and the Center for Public Policy Studies in its recent economic report has talked about taking another look at the state's business tax structure. And you've done that. You're calling for a reduction in the business profits tax, 0.5% over 2 years. It sounds like the idea of phasing that tax cut in over time is to avoid the offsets of the revenue losses and making that happen over time. But if the theory is right and that cutting this tax will boost businesses in New Hampshire and boost hiring, is the cut going to be large enough or fast enough to make a difference on jobs?
Well, I think it will. First of all, it's not just simply reducing the actual aggregate level of tax, but also implementing some tax incentives that I think will be helpful of job creation. For example, basically creating a tax holiday for 5 years for job creators. So any new employees that someone might bring on to their business won't be added to part of the tax structure for a business enterprise tax, for example, for 5 years. And I think that's the kind of incentive that we need to have. Plus, as we trend down in terms of the overall tax rate, we're going to be sending a signal out to the rest of the country and other businesses located outside of New Hampshire, as well as our own domestic employers, that we are going to be looking to try to ease the burden of for them to do business and to succeed here in New Hampshire.
When you say ease the burden, you're talking in part about taxes, but also about regulation. And you've said you would have a stricter test about whether new regulations are worth adopting in the future. What about state regulations as they exist now? What, if any, regulations that are in place in New Hampshire today do you see as curbing growth that you might try to do away with or change?
Well, first of all, you can continue to discuss the tax structure. We want to simplify the tax filing itself, so it mirrors the federal filing requirements and also simplifies the criteria by which people would decide how much and where to pay and how to file for taxes. That's a regulatory reform there. But I'm going to require every agency head that promulgates rules and regulations to conduct an economic impact analysis to tell the businesses, the cities and towns, the families of the state exactly what it's going to cost to comply with the next new rule or regulation and what the value to be achieved is. And then as we apply that test, we'll start to do that as well to existing rules and regulations. If you're in business, you're dealing with regulatory burdens, whether it's in the employment area or in your own field. For example, healthcare providers are inundated with all sorts of rules and regulations, whether you're running a nursing home or a doctor's office, that sometimes seem really inconsistent and, frankly, a little extreme when it comes to what's trying to be achieved here. And there's been a confluence of federal regulations and state regulations, and we need to move to a much more simple and understandable approach. I think using simple English language would be helpful, too, in terms of regulatory reform. That's something I'm calling for. And then we'll make it easier for our citizens and our businesses to not only comply but to understand them, and then also hopefully have a system that actually works and doesn't get in the way of job creation.
A lot of the ideas in your economic plan call for better coordination and better consistency between regional development councils, between state and local governments, between job incubator programs, and so forth. And New Hampshire can be a fairly decentralized state. Does this call for coordination mean that, given our decentralized character, that multi-layered system, it's maybe appropriate in other facets of society, but it could be a drag on economic growth here?
Well, actually, that's an excellent question. I think we need to really strike a balance between empowerment at the local level, which I truly believe in, and yet coordinating at a state level what we're doing and making sure that we're directing time, talent, and treasure to the areas of our state where the state itself can be helpful. I think of the North Country, having breakfast a few months ago at Howard's Restaurant with some local business leaders, and I asked them, you know, why is it that when I call an 800 number for a product that's not working, I end up in India, not Colebrook? And they said, well, because we don't have broadband high-speed internet here. We're still on dial-up. And I said, what would it cost to actually bring your platform to a modern global economy and give you the platform to enter that economy? And they said about $600,000 in our area. I said, why hasn't that happened? They said, lack of leadership. That's where the state can come in and work with businesses as well as regional development councils and help to focus our efforts to really make a profound difference in terms of the ability of businesses located, for example, in the North Country to enter the global economy in a much more profound way. And that's what I mean by the state working in conjunction with local regional development councils and other leaders at the local level to try to coordinate and collaborate so we have a higher return on investment.
And is that something then that you intend to push for as governor? Is that idea of bringing broadband to the rest of the state that doesn't have it? And if so, how do you get there?
Well, absolutely, it is something I want to work hard to achieve. And one of the areas that goes along with that is bringing New Hampshire state government into a modern platform. We don't have an information technology system that is modern right now. And there needs to be some investment by the private sector working in conjunction with government to get us to that level, and also to look at the regions of our state where we still are not in a modern platform, working with the PUC and other data services organizations that oversee this. We need to target those resources where we can and work with the private sector. There are a lot of businesses that will benefit by making an investment in this as well. So that's something very important, at least from my perspective, because that is the wave of the future, is clearly going to continue to be driven by information technology, access to the Internet in a meaningful way that's secure and stable and reliable. And that's the kind of infrastructure we need for parts of our state that are rural in nature, and make them or help them access the global economy.
Since you mentioned private investment, I wanted to ask about that issue of credit and lending. You write in your plan that as governor, you would work to improve the commercial lending environment for small and medium-sized businesses through regulatory reform for local financial institutions and increase available capital. I've heard it said that community banks hung in through the Great Recession because they were careful not to overextend themselves on loans. So how do you open that capital up when the banks have traditionally been very cautious?
Well, Brady, it's an excellent question. I'm a former chairman of the board at St. Mary's Bank, the nation's first credit union, founded, again, in the New Hampshire way by local people putting together their resources and initiative to create a financial institution that now serves 80,000 families and individuals as well as businesses in southern New Hampshire. I've learned about commercial lending, and it's a combination of conventional financing as well as non-conventional financing through venture capitalists and angel investors that we need to know where the opportunities are, where the capital is, and to be able to access it. Dodd-Frank has been a job killer and a capital crunch creator, and it was targeted or at least intended to target financial institutions of $1 billion in assets or more. But what's happened, and we've seen this across the state, particularly for community banks, it's had a regulatory drag on those community banks, so it's harder for them to lend. And we need to find ways of achieving waivers where it can help so that there's more capital available for businesses. And the New Hampshire Bankers Association actually did a very interesting survey last year that was published showing that for businesses that have started from 2000 and afterwards or startup businesses now, the number one obstacle to job creation is access to capital. And the capital is there and needs to be identified. We need to coordinate and help people access it through, again, conventional as well as non-conventional financing sources. And this is something that's very important to me and something I know about. And I want to make sure that as the governor, I can help to coordinate these resources, make them available. And one of the ways we're going to do that is making sure we have a business advocate in the governor's office who will help to troubleshoot and then also find those opportunities for businesses that are growing here in New Hampshire.
You support the legislation known commonly as Right to Work, saying it would be a beacon for employers because New Hampshire would be the only right to work state in the Northeast. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says New Hampshire has the lowest rate of union affiliation in New England. So would this legislation have much of an effect in New Hampshire?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, this is one of those sort of ironies that the opponents of Right to Work suggest that there's some sort of a negative effect on the workplace. Actually, as you point out and as the statistics show, very few of our workers are actually part of a union. Yet to create an environment in New Hampshire that is right to work sends a signal to businesses around the state and around this country that we're going to stand with workers and give them that freedom of choice. And that injects a level of accountability in the workplace between the workers and their union representatives where a union exists. That's why it's so attractive for businesses looking to relocate in another part of the country. And if they're looking to relocate in the Northeast, whether or not we're a right-to-work state will be a major factor for them to consider. It's a huge marketing opportunity. It does not in any way take away collective bargaining rights. What it does is put our faith in the people at the in the workplace to make a decision whether they want to be part of the union in their shop or not. And what it also does is it brands New Hampshire. This would be a huge economic a development opportunity for us if we were to enact a right to work here in New Hampshire.
One of the other main arguments critics use, though, against that legislation is they say that wages are lower in right-to-work states than in other states. Why wouldn't that then be the case here?
Well, wages are lower here in New Hampshire than they are in our in the region anyways, and we're not a right-to-work state. The reason for that is because our cost of living tends to be lower than other states. But I think if you look at states that have had been right-to-work states, including most recently Oklahoma, there's been much more of an improvement in terms of productivity per unit cost or unit productivity of workers, as well as more development in that state and other states. They tend to do better in terms of economic development in tough times, and I think New Hampshire will do much better if we become a right-to-work state.
Since exports are a big part of the state's economy, in your plan, you say that you'll rejuvenate the New Hampshire International Trade Resource Center by encouraging its efforts to export New Hampshire-made products. What would it mean to rejuvenate that center?
Well, we lost a wonderful international trade representative in Don Wivel when we started to shrink the office and the operation for the New Hampshire International Trade Resource Center. And Dawn has gone into the private sector. She's still available, but I've worked with her and other people in economic development, particularly focusing on Canada. I've been part of trade missions to go to Canada. And what, Brady, what the trade mission does and the outreach can achieve is to put New Hampshire on the map when people, business people as close as Southern Quebec looking to locate in the United States a base of operations to enter the U.S. marketplace, that they should know about New Hampshire. And when I've been on these trade missions, I ask, tell people in Quebec, and I can speak in their language with a name like mine, and I say, come to New Hampshire to form your business. They say, oh, we love New Hampshire. We go to Old Orchard Beach every summer. Well, you know, Old Orchard Beach is in New Hampshire. And when I say that to them, they say, well, it's the same thing, you guys in the Northeast. No, we're not the same at all. We have no broad-based sales or income tax. We have some real infrastructure advantages if you're located here. And a rejuvenated international trade organization and focus is going to help us recruit businesses. And we don't have to go around, halfway around the world. We can just go across the border north, and we can also go south, and we can put New Hampshire, again, on the map as an international trade destination location.
Last question, and this is one we're asking of every candidate. As you push for these policies, what should Granite Staters be looking for 2 years from now to see whether or not they're better off than they are here in 2012?
Well, that's a very good question, Brady. You know, we're still 30,000 jobs short of where we were at the time of the Great Recession right here in New Hampshire. We're seeing an out-migration of our talent, and our young people are not staying here. 2 years from now, if I'm the governor with a legislature I can work with, and with the right leadership team and state government, we'll see job creation in New Hampshire, not job dissipation. We'll make up those 30,000 jobs, and we may not be in exactly in 2 years, but we're going to be trending to make those up and to keep our talent here. And there is there are a number of initiatives we can take working in collaboration with the private sector and government to make us really the best state to do business, the best state to raise a family, and the best state to live free. And that's my objective. It's about jobs, the economy, and reforming state government to create that platform for job growth here in New Hampshire by keeping taxes and spending low. We've got to work our way out of the Hassan recession because, frankly, under her leadership, New Hampshire's lost its edge. And the New Hampshire advantage, as the Center for Public Policy Studies points out, the New Hampshire advantage is very much in a threatened position right now because of failed policies.
Ovid Lamontagne, thanks so much for taking the time.
Brady, always a pleasure.